Blog Talk Radio.
The Visionary Hotspot. Talk radio with the consciousness of women, for women, by women. A radio show bridging the gap among women desiring their purpose with the world's greatest minds, achievers, and believers of women's progress. The Visionary Hotspot. Inspiring, encouraging, enlightening, and empowering women to live life as our greatest self. I am you, you are me, and we are Visionary Women.
Hello, hello, and welcome everyone to the Visionary Hotspot. I'm your host, Charmaine Caraway, and today we have the phenomenal, amazingly accomplished, inside and out, the lovely Laura Fenimore. How are you, Miss Fenimore? Yes, everyone, hold on 1 second. Laura's going to be right back in. And everyone, everybody is doing great today. We are talking about loving the skin you are in. And this is a subject that Ms. Fenimore is an expert at. She knows this subject inside and out. Ms. Fenimore, are you there? Okay, everybody, we're having some technical difficulties. We'll be right back with you in 1 second. We're going to take a short break.
The Visionary Hotspot. Talk radio with the consciousness of women, for women, by women. A radio show bridging the gap among women desiring their purpose with the world's greatest minds, achievers, and believers of women's progress. The Visionary Hotspot. Inspiring, encouraging, enlightening, and empowering women to live life as our greatest self. I am you. You are me. And we are Visionary Women.
Hello, everyone. We're back again with Ms. Laura Fenimore. Ms. Fenimore, are you there?
I am here. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. I can hear you now. How is every little thing?
Everything is wonderful, and it's so great to hear your voice. I love it.
Oh, listen, I am excited for us to dive into this very passionate subject of mine and yours, loving the skin you're in, skinny, fat, perfect. Why is this subject so important to you, Laura?
Oh, boy. There's lots of reasons why it's so important, but mainly because I have myself have healed from eating disorders and hating my body. And I, you know, write that all about that in my book, Skinny, Fat, Perfect, Love Who You See in the Mirror. And I talk about overcoming self-hatred, not only hating myself, but certainly hating my body. And it has absolutely nothing to do with our size or how we look. It all has to do with dealing with healing the issues in our tissues and getting beyond this silly cultural myth that says that women have to look a certain way in order to be okay.
Well, I wonder to myself, Laura, how did we get there, though? Because, I mean, when we think about it in terms of skinny, fat, perfect, meaning we are all perfect in the skin we're in, that the theme should more so be healthy, right? Mm-hmm. I wonder how, as a society, did we get to this space where we are so consumed? I mean, the ads that we see on television, the propaganda that we are gained through the media about what beauty looks like. You know, you have to now this thing where you have to have high cheekbones and they have to have apple cheeks and you have to have big butts. I mean, when do we and how did we get to this place?
Mm-hmm. Well, when you think about it, I mean, it's so easy for people to say it's so superficial. It's not very deep. And it's, you're right, it's not very deep. What happened is somebody decided, you know, in the Western world what beauty looked like, and everybody just kind of went along with it. So I think everybody's kind of in a coma. And we're all trained to compare ourselves to other people, and we set the standard with the external. Now, you and I both know, because we are women who are confident women and, of course, visionary women, that we do care about how we carry ourselves. We do care about
exactly
how we look. unfortunately, people actually dress themselves up and make themselves up every day a reflection of their self-worth versus I just want to look good.
Yes.
It's like, as opposed to I am getting my self-esteem from, you know, thinking that I can prove that I'm okay by looking good versus knowing I'm okay and I'm choosing to look a certain way. It's a very different energy, Charmaine.
Wow. You know, but see, that's what I find fascinating, right? Because when we think in terms of women loving themselves, whether you're skinny, fat, perfect, you know, I think in terms of the way women was portrayed back in the day. So back in the day, if you were skinny, all you were telling society was that you were really poor because it was the fat women who could afford to eat well, so therefore they must have some kind of wealth.
Right.
Then time changed, and we went from women overeating to undereating. I'm wondering to myself, as a society, when will we begin to have balance? Because the truth of the matter is, I am a short, brown-skinned woman. I will never see a skinny day. Not ever. If you took all the fat off of my body, I probably would still be what is considered overweight. Literally. Because I just have a bigger bone structure. My body is shaped totally different. So I guess what I'm saying is DNA plays a part, hormones play a part, you know, the way the chemicals in the mind play a part. So how do we start saying, okay, yes, she's 5 feet, I'm 5 feet, but our 5 feet are totally different, and I appreciate the way she is, and I appreciate the way I am, and it's okay to look different.
One woman at a time, that's how we do it. We do it one body at a time, one woman, and that's what self-acceptance is all about. It doesn't matter what Madison Avenue or the magazines or TV or anything says I should look like. What matters is that how you feel about yourself. It's like, you know, my beauty standard is me. That is my beauty standard. I don't have to live up to a beauty standard. I don't want to have to say I have to be thinner or I have to be fatter. I like me as I am, period.
Yes.
Period.
Yes. Wow. And then you know what I find, too? I think it's also very troubling when we think in terms of the way we and the part we play in this whole game also. Because, you know, you can't play a game by yourself. So the truth of the matter is we also bear responsibility. How do we start encouraging women to take responsibility back into their own hands, take back their power, and then start seeing the paradigm in which we've been all brainwashed, so to speak, because the truth of the matter is ads sell. Sales bring in wealth. And therefore, if we are buying into the stereotype, we play into that part. You know, it's almost like that thing, if you don't have a pair of Gucci shoes, you're not hot. It's like, okay, but what happens if I can only afford a Target? Why can't that be enough? So I guess my question is, how do we bring back our own power where we don't desire other people's expectations?
Well, I think that there is something to be said about being awake. And I think that is what you're really trying to promote people and women, especially in being awake to their own power. Because as long as we live on other people's definition of who we are actually disempowered. Each individual needs to stand up and own her worth, own her power, and that has to come from a willingness, that has to come from, I mean, you know, I think that you and I both are in total agreement that we're all about prayer and about connecting
yes.
with the divine. And, you know, I'm all like, if I can't feel something, I take it to God and say, I need help. I need help. I need help. I need help. Please help, because
yes.
I can't. And so people have to first get conscious of their behavior and how they're losing their power, and then reclaiming that power. There's so much support and love on this planet for people. There really
yes.
is, not to mention the fact
yes.
that there's, you know, this universal love, as in the form of God, that's like ridiculously abundant. So
right.
there's
right.
a way of tapping in that doesn't really cost anything either. But there's so much support. And look what you with the Visionary Women are doing. You are turning women's light bulbs on. You're like, hey,
wow.
guess what? You want to be a visionary woman? If you don't feel it, here I am to say, and here we are to say, you know, like, you have power. It's all inside of you now. You don't need to go anywhere for it. You just need to turn it on inside of you. And
yeah.
I talk
yeah.
about in my book, I talk about wanting to, you know what, I just interrupted you. I'm sorry, sweetheart. What did you just say?
No, I'm listening to you because I wanted to hear the finishing portion of what you were going to say, because I know it was going to be phenomenal. So I'm listening.
So I used to believe a long time ago, because we all have that nagging, chronic, nasty voice in our head that says we're not good enough, we're not smart enough, we're not pretty enough, we're not rich enough, we're not enough, we're not enough. And who cares where the voice of unreason comes from? Let's just all agree that we have a critical voice, a judgmental voice inside of us. And I believe if we make peace with that voice, we can turn the volume down. Instead of trying to
wow.
fight it, be at war with it, we make peace with it. So we have this voice of unreason that lives in us, and we want to, you know, get into connection with it versus like I'm trying to knock it down. But I used to believe that we had a switch in our brains, Charmaine, that I could turn off that voice. And as soon as I could turn off that voice, if I could just figure out how to turn off that nasty voice, I'd be okay.
Right.
And one day I said, the voice isn't going off, but the volume's going down. And it's like
wow.
there's no switch to turn it off, but there is a way to make peace with it. And the same way that there is a way to make peace in our culture with all the nasty voices that live out there, it's like, I don't want to be at war with those voices. I just want to make peace with them. I don't want to fight City Hall. I want to make peace with City Hall. I'm a peacemaker,
right.
not a fighter.
Right. And I think that's a lot of the problem, too, because we bear witness to other people's problems. You know what I'm saying? That's why Skinny Fat Perfect, when I read your book, Laura, when I tell you, I read that book 3 times. Because when I say that book was so inspiring, it was like dead on. It's like we live up to other people's expectations, and we wear those expectations like a blanket. And when they don't agree to, or we don't agree to no longer play the game of meeting your expectations, well, now I'm evil. Now I'm nasty. Now I'm all of these ugly things that you want to portray about me, and therefore I internalize those things, and then I digest them into my very core. And now your problems, your propaganda, your issues have become mine. So I'm wondering to myself, as women, how do we begin to create the conversation that builds the education and the encouragement that women need? Because, you know, I can only inspire people but so far. But there's going to come a point where I'm going to hand you the baton, and you're going to have to run the rest of the race yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way I know to run a race is to be prepared. And I can't be prepared if I'm not educated in what it is that I'm doing. So how do we encourage women to become more educated in what it is that we partake in?
Well, we start in our communities. We start in our families. We start small, and it just grows. It just does. First of all, believing and knowing and trusting that women are hungry for a new conversation. You know, even though even though I have to say that, you know, with so much, like, fun-loving reverence that I don't want to blame the media for anything, because it's so easy to pass the buck and just blame people and blame society and blame everyone for all the problems instead of taking our power back and saying, you know what, that may be happening, but that doesn't mean that I have to participate. I say
exactly.
That because with the housewife shows and the Kardashians and all of the superficiality that lives in this world, people are addicted to that stuff. And I am not here to bash any woman or anything. What I do know is that I choose not to partake in that, only because, you know, you could say, well, it's mindless, it's this, it's that, and but, you know, it's like I'd rather be reading a book than watching mindless whatever. Or there's a way to use
Why?
Our mind that just is more empowering. So just saying.
Yeah.
I don't want to put
yeah.
women down who are watching those shows, but I just want to say that there's more, you know, there's more depth in some other forms of, you know, sociability, like
yeah.
taking a walk
you,
with your friends and your family
yes.
or relaxing
yes.
and reading a book.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you know what I think, too? I think several things that comes along with this conversation that we're having, because if you think about it in terms of this, we have become so overly exposed that nothing mm-hmm. no longer shocks us. Literally, nothing no longer shocks us. And I just had this conversation this morning with an amazing, amazing guest I had today on the video exchange, and we talked about sexuality in a means of, you know, it used to be that when we were little kids, we would see people on television and they would kiss, and guess what we did? We covered our face because
mm-hmm.
we already knew that our parents was having none of that. And because
mm-hmm.
there was a very limited amount of television in the house, there was no changing of the television if there was an adult in the room. So we had enough respect. Now children today, they don't have a clue about turning their heads. You see what I'm saying? So when we become so overly exposed to everything, it in my head, it makes it very easy to become susceptible to the very expectations that we ingest, because we know your eyes are a muscle, and everything
mm-hmm.
you see visually, you obtain it, you digest it, you inhale it, literally.
Mm-hmm.
Because have you ever seen something on television and you can't get it out of your mind? Because it
yep.
went through those beautiful lenses, your eyes? Yes,
mm-hmm.
it's the same idea. So when we see skinny women in big butts on Instagram, and they have on the fabulous shoes and the man with the six-pack or the woman who's amazingly gorgeous and she has her body all exposed in a titillating bathing suit, and yet she looks like she's having a great time, we associate how she looks with what she's doing. So,
mm-hmm.
again, it goes back to what you were talking about, having something greater than the mundane diet that we eat, digest socially, as in engaging with people who are really around you instead of this social media thing that we
mm-hmm.
do. You know what I'm saying? Because we compare
mm-hmm.
ourselves to complete strangers.
Mm-hmm.
Strangers. If we walk down the street from these people, they wouldn't even know who we are.
Yeah.
This is what I'm saying. What do you think?
Yeah. Yeah. It's absolutely true that we're more connected than ever, but we're disconnected, and it's just it really does take effort and commitment and fortitude to kind of get back to what our values are. Like, what do I really value? That no matter what's happening out there in the world, I still want to honor my values, which I value.
Yes.
I value people, I value my family, I value my God, I value, what do I really value? I value my health. I mean, certainly
right.
with me, it's like people are so disconnected that they forget that they live in a body, and if they don't have that body, then they're not here, and they care about their health, but they don't necessarily take care of it. So it's there's a disconnect. There's the great disconnect that, like, I know women are craving self-care and self-love, and they're craving how to balance and manage it all. They really want that, and they don't have any clue how to get there because they can't stop because they're trying to prove that they're perfect. So I'm like, okay, put the, you know, perfect wand down. No one's perfect. Everybody's going to screw up.
Right.
That balance is imbalance, and perfection is imperfection. And, you know, it's just like that is just the place to begin from that place of like, yeah, I'm not going to get everything right. But what I am going to do is I'm going to be true to my values. And if my values dictate that my health is important, then I might need to shift some things in my life to make maybe some more movement or better health choices a priority so that I don't have to feel like a victim to my body, to my weight, to any of that stuff. I can actually...
Wow.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we've become
victims to
ourselves.
I don't have to feel like a victim. Wow. I love that. I don't have to become a victim to my weight. Oh, my God. You know, it's so funny because my weight has always been something that has gone up and down, especially after I started having children. So from, let's say, high school, I weighed no more than 120-some pounds, always in a size 4 or 5. Then I had my daughter, and then I went up to, size 4 or 5. And then I had my daughter, and then I went up to an 8. And then I had my first son, and then I went up to about a 10 or 12. Then I had Isaac, and then it went up to a 14. Isaiah busted me wide open, and I went to a 16, and then I lost 50 pounds. And I was serious. I was determined to lose the weight, not from a space of vanity, but when I went to the doctor and I was told that I was having borderline blood pressure problems, I said, oh, my God, I'm still in my 20s. Are you kidding me? At that time, I was still in my 20s. I'm still in my 20s. I don't think so, boo. I would rather die doing something about this problem than to die a slow death with sickness and illness. So I'm wondering to myself, do we have to get to a place in a space, I wonder sometimes, of necessity, where it's a life or death issue for us to get the importance of being healthy?
Well, I really don't think so. I really don't think so. I mean, certainly one wake-up call that I don't wish on anyone in the world is getting sick. And it's true that it is the way the body is finally like, hey, guess what? I'm tired. I'm done. I'm like, you know, we do get to choose how to be in relationship with our bodies, even though it doesn't feel like a choice. It is a give and take relationship, Charmaine. No matter what people think, the body's a living organism. We're these beings. We are bodies living within a spirit, but it is our vehicle for this lifetime. And in this vehicle, we are in relationship. And it's like, I think a lot of people are pissed off, excuse my language, but they're mad at their bodies for not doing what they want them to do, not, you know, and it's much easier to blame than to make it right. It's just easier.
Right.
It's like people, it's just our natural MO is like, hey, let me just make it wrong. And so, or blame that person or blame that thing or blame my body. So I'm all about, like, we got to learn how to literally make our bodies our best friends.
Wow.
Our bodies are our friends. They're not the enemy. We've made them the enemy. We've become victims of our bodies, but the body is not the enemy. So no matter what people heard when they were kids, and no matter how maybe their parents were chronic dieters, and maybe their parents didn't take care of themselves, or maybe they were, you know, went to school in a place where anything goes, or whatever the externals was, it doesn't matter. What matters is now. And as adults, we're all at choice. We are. We're at choice. Yep. We might not like the choices that are in front of us, but we are at choice. And we have the divine. So between being at choice and asking God for help, we are like made in the shade. There's no reason why people should feel like victims or be victimized.
Right, right. And then, you know, considering what victimization will do to a person, think of a term of a victim. It's almost like a sabotage in which we live in based on the, as you explained, the externals. And here's what I found is that the greatest way to remove the victim from the actual being of a person is to allow them to see themselves in the mirror. Because the worst thing is when you start losing parts of yourself, bits and pieces of yourself. So my question to you would be, what are five things you would tell my audience to do to keep themselves in a space where they understand that they're skinny, fat, and they're perfect? What are those five things from your book that you would tell us?
Okay. Well, we've talked about quite a few, which is one is that we are not victims of our bodies and we are not at war with our bodies. And to change that consciousness, pray about it, ask about it, get support about it. The other thing is that we were trained, no matter what culture we were raised in, we were all trained on an unconscious level to compare ourselves to other women. Women compare themselves. We know better, but we still do it. So just to be the witness, as opposed to giving our power over to that voice that says, she's better than me, she looks prettier than me, she this, she that. Just recognizing that that's just all part of the lie. So we're not victims to our bodies. We're going to stop comparing ourselves. We are going to, there isn't a tremendous amount of help on this planet for getting support around self-love and self-care. So whatever story you've heard about, I have to be rich, or I'm not rich enough, or I'm not, it's another part of the lie, Charmaine. You know it. People can get help, even if it's small and incremental. There's a tremendous amount of support on this planet.
Right.
And, you know, I'm all about leaning into the divine, like really just, I can't figure this out, but God can. And so my life is all about surrender. It's just one big giant surrender. I surrender to spirit power, just take it over, and it works. Because you know what? Life is way too difficult to try to figure everything out. But I very, very much so have faith that God can help me and walk me through anything. Now, there's people that are listening that might be atheists or not agree with that or believe that or anything like that. So whatever it is that you can tap into that feels powerful and strong. But, you know, Charmaine, I know you've heard this a million times, too, that the mind that hurts us cannot help us. So we can't really tap into a mind that's making us wrong and get get answers. And then, lo and behold, it's like I really am very sensitive to environmental stuff, and I think that if we're hanging around with people that are shamers and haters and tell us that we're not skinny enough or we're not pretty enough or we're not – so our environment has a huge impact on, you know, who we are and what we do. So really, really – be diligent about who is in your environment. Are these people, you know, are they helping you grow or are they helping you get weak?
So, Laura, we have 42 seconds left. Real quickly, you can tell my audience where they can find you. Skinny Fat Perfect book on Amazon, bestseller. Tell us, where can we find
Skinny Fat Perfect is on Amazon, and you can just go to my website to get my free gift, which is at skinnyfatperfect.com, just like it sounds, skinnyfatperfect.com, and have a free gift there. It's a Skinny Fat Perfect manifesto. You'll love it.
Wonderful. Everyone, remember, I am so glad you joined me today. Remember, you can always catch me, Charmaine Caraway, at thevisionarywoman.com. We'll see you soon. Bye.
Bye.
The Visionary Hotspot. Talk radio with the consciousness of women, for women, by women. A radio show bridging the gap among women desiring their purpose with the world's greatest minds, achievers, and believers of women's progress. The Visionary Hotspot. Inspiring, encouraging, enlightening, and empowering women to live life as our greatest self. I am you. You are me. And we are visionary women.